discretion is advised. Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Host of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm so glad that you are live with us tonight. I want to declare to you that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And whatever you're going through tonight, I want to remind you that God has not, is not, and will never be your problem. He is the answer. And the only way to please God is by faith. The Bible says four times the just shall live by faith. And that's what this is all about. It's about learning to please God, and it's about learning how to be victorious. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. And many people, Gary, that proclaim to be Christians really haven't learned what Christianity is all about. I know myself, I was raised as a Catholic, and I knew about God, but I didn't know God. And there's a huge difference between having theology and then having a relationship with God. And the only way to heaven is having a relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Do you think most people realize that, or do you think most people just kind of think, you know, I believe in God and I go to church a couple times a year and I just live my life and that's the end of it?
They don't believe. No,
no. And it's interesting. Yeah. You know, one of the greatest people, I think, in the Bible was Enoch. And the Bible talks about he's in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And the Bible says that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And it also says right there that Enoch walked with God. You know, if we could have that report from the Lord that we walk with him and that we please him, that's life, man. There's nothing more important than that. There's nothing better than that. Because listen, when you have God in your life, you have eternal life. You are never going to die. You're going to live forever. And you know, Jesus said, what does a man gain if he gets the whole world and loses his soul? So a lot of things that people value in life is not valuable at all. They value things like making a lot of money. They value things like having, I mean, am I telling the truth, Gary? They think that that the most valuable things is how much money you make.
Yeah, yeah, materialistic things.
Yeah, that your worth or your value is connected to how much you make, how successful you are. But who is measuring success? Who is it who says that one person is successful and another person is not successful? Is it because of how much money they have in the bank? Is it because of what kind of car they drive? Is it because of how big their house is? Listen, all those things are going to get burned up. We'll get into that here in just a second. But I'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a praise report, if you have a Bible question, just email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. I always love to hear from first timers. So if you are a first time listener tonight, and every week I'm on the air. Now, a couple weeks ago, I wasn't able to make it. I was traveling. We set up a new church in Pensacola. And so Gary was gracious enough to run a prior episode. But every week I'm on the air, we go up in our numbers every single week. And that's happened now, Gary, for what, 2.5 years? Yeah. And what a privilege, man. But I'd love to hear from you tonight. Wherever you are listening, email me. Let me know where you're listening from. I'll tell you, this past week, I was just looking at where we had people listening from. A couple weeks ago, we had people tuning in from China. That just blesses my heart. That is just amazing to me. Let's see. I'm going the wrong spot here. We had, this past week, we had folks listening in from Denmark, Germany, Israel, Jamaica, one of my favorite islands in the whole world. Shout out to my Jamaican friends, Wagwan. Norway, Russia, Tobago, Trinidad, United States. And our number one listeners is from, Canada. Praise God. Canada is our number one listeners. I don't know how many times in a row. Most of the time, Canada's our number one listeners. So big shout out to all my friends in Canada, where I hold a passport and I plan to go to Canada before the year end. Praise God. I'll let you know when I'm there. I'm hoping Gary's new studio is open and I can come to the studio and do our broadcast there. Gary is such a blessing. Big shout out to my friend, Gary. Praise God. And
thank you,
you know, all my listeners, as the Lord leads you, pray for me and pray for Gary and my pastor, pray for Bishop Butler. One of the most important things that we can do, especially in this hour, is pray. Praise God. Amen. So once again, if you'd like to get on board, email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. And let's get right into the word tonight. We'll pray and then we'll get into the word. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you for your love tonight, your mercy, your faithfulness. Father, I thank you that you have truly brought us through this pandemic. And, you know, as bad as it seemed to so many, you were always with us. And so much of the disparity came because many got their eyes off of you. But Lord, we know your word tells us that you are omnipresent. You're everywhere at all times. But your word tells us in Psalms 46 that you are not only present, but you are a very present help in the time of trouble. And you have been that and even more. And so we thank you for the hour that we're in now. We thank you, Father, that you have never left us nor forsaken us. I pray a blessing upon our radio audience tonight. I pray strength. I pray financial blessing. I pray healing power flowing into our audience tonight, those that are connecting in. And we thank you, Father, that you said where two of us are gathered together in your name, Jesus is right in the midst of us. And there is no distance in the spirit. Even though we're on radio and internet, you are right here. And on Facebook, we pray a blessing upon every listener. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement said amen. 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 Praise God. Turn in your Bible. Thank you, Gary, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Emails are already coming in tonight. You can email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you've never emailed me, email me tonight, especially with what's on your heart, what Bible question you may have, what direction you want to talk about or you want to go in tonight. That's why I am here. I'm here to answer your questions. I'm here to build your faith, to starve your doubts. And I'm excited. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Instudio101@gmail.com. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. The Passion Translation says, "We have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, 'First I believe, then I spoke in faith.' So we also first believe, then speak in faith." You know, the scripture says that God is very present in darkness. He says that, let me find where the prophet said that. He said, "When I sit in darkness," I think it's in, is it Obadiah or Micah? "Then the Lord shall be a light unto me." Let me find it here real quick. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's see. Praise the Lord. Am I in King James here? Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to Micah. Micah. I went through something yesterday, and I think a lot of you can relate to this. I was feeling heavy, and I wasn't feeling really good physically. And then on top of that, I was feeling heavy. And then I felt this almost not just like a darkness, but like a fear came upon me. And it just didn't even make a lot of sense at all. It was just this, because sometimes, you know, we think about when we feel fear, you know, what did I do? Did I do this? Did I do that? What did I do? And this fear came, and it began, my skin was actually feeling tingly, and I was feeling heavy, and I was feeling alone, and all these emotions just hit me like just wow. And at first I just kind of put up with it and almost kind of wanted to pull the sheets over my head because I wasn't feeling good. But what we have to realize is that when you come under attack, that is not the time to be silent. That is the time to open up your mouth and speak the word of faith. It's faith that causes us to overcome. 1 John 5 says, "This is the victory that overcomes the world," world system. The cosmos is the Greek word, which means this order, this arrangement, where 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is the god of this world. What causes us to overcome this world is our faith. But there's faith is only needed when you can't see, when you don't understand, when you don't know what to do in the natural. That's when faith is required. You don't need faith when you see it. You don't need faith when you have the answer. You need faith when you don't know what to do, when you can't see through the darkness, or your feelings are feeling overwhelming. That's when we begin to walk by faith and not by sight. Four times the scripture tells us that the just shall live by faith. And so here in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, I love this. This is one of my absolute favorite scriptures. He says, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, yet shall I arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Well, the Bible says that God is the word of God, that he's exalted the word above his own name. And so when we talk about the word of God, we're talking about God himself. So when he says the Lord shall be a light unto me, he's saying that the word shall be a light unto me. Psalms 119 says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the entrance of God's word that brings illumination, revelation. You can begin to see because of God's word. And how does that work? It works through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides. Let me read this in the New Living Translation. And it says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will arise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I want to encourage all of you listening tonight, do not quit. There is no quit in Christ. There is no quit in God. And Gary and I were talking here at the beginning of the show today about how many people don't understand what it is to walk with God. They don't understand what Christianity is. Christianity is not Christianism. It's not a religion. Christianity is not about believing in God with your head. Christianity is about believing in God, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ with your heart, and saying with your mouth, Jesus, you are my master. Jesus, you are my Lord. Jesus, you are supreme in authority. When you do that, we are born again. We become a new creature in Christ. You know, when I was raised as a Catholic, I used to think that born again Christians were crazy, that, you know, I was taught that they were part of a cult, that they were not of Christianity. I was taught, Gary, that if you weren't Catholic, you were going to hell.
Yeah, I was too, because I was raised Catholic.
And you know, there is some truth to that.
Okay.
Now, Catholic means general. So the Catholic faith is the general faith of the Christianity. And there's only supposed to be one faith, one Lord, one baptism. But what's happened with Catholicism is it has become a religion. There's 11 main tenets of the Catholic faith that are heresies. They believe in transubstantiation, the physical changing of the bread of Jesus, the bread of communion into the actual physical flesh of Jesus. They believe in the ascension of Mary. They believe in praying to Mary and praying to the saints. These are heresies. These are absolutely not biblical teachings. And there's several others. I did a teaching on it years ago about the 11 heresies of the Catholic Church. And what a heresy is a heresy is an error that takes you away from the true faith in God, and it will hinder your walk with Christ. And I keep continually, my spirit right now, I keep coming back to Enoch. So let's read that. Go to Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 11, rather. I think it's verse 5. I'll go back to the King James. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, this word translated is the Greek word metatithemi. And metatithemi means that he was transported to heaven. He was carried over. He was removed. He was turned from where he was into another place. So he was translated that he should not see death at that time. Now, I believe, as well as many others, that Enoch will see death because he's one of the two witnesses that we see in the book of Revelation that will be witnesses on the earth during the tribulation period, along with Elijah and Enoch. And so by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, metatithemi, for before his translation, he had this testimony. The Greek word here for testimony is martyreo. It's where we get the word martyr. He testified of his faith. He was not ashamed. Now, we know the word martyr. When you think of a martyr, what do you think of, Gary?
Someone who died for their cause. And their
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what every one of us as Christians are supposed to be. Every one of us as Christians are supposed to be martyreos, witnesses, or martyrs, or ones that are willing to die for their faith. And that's a good question. Are you willing to die for your faith?
That's a hard answer, but
no, it's not.
I know the answer we're supposed to.
Yeah, then the answer is not hard, because here's the deal: that Jesus said, if you love your life, you will lose it. But if you hate your life for my sake and the gospel, you will find it. So in other words, he's not saying that you should, you know, want to commit suicide or, you know, be depressed and hate yourself. What he's saying is that trying to preserve your life now will cause you to lose your life, but not valuing your current life and rather valuing eternal life and who is God himself will cause you to find life. And, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, toward the end of this chapter, he goes on to say that there are some that refused deliverance. They were martyrs, and they were being persecuted for their faith. And some refused deliverance, knowing that they would receive a better resurrection. Why? Because they were not unwilling to lay down their life for the gospel. Revelation chapter 12 says that, talking about the tribulation saints, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. Now think about this. The tribulation saints, Gary, do they live or do they die? Or maybe you want to know, who are the tribulation
saints?
Yeah,
who are they?
So before the tribulation begins, how long is the tribulation, Gary?
Oh, I forgot how many years.
7 years.
7 years, okay.
There's a seven-year tribulation period, and it's divided in two by the first 3.5 years, and then the great tribulation, Megas, the great tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years. And before the tribulation begins, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that we are not appointed unto wrath, but rather to obtain salvation or deliverance from or through Jesus Christ, which is the rapture of the church. He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 50, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," or "we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." The word trump there is referring, I believe, and many others believe, to what's called the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets in the Hebrew is Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is what I believe, as well as many others, is this festival of God that commemorates the rapture or the removal of the church from the earth, which is called the, Gary. When the church is removed, it's called the rapture. So the rapture of the church is when the church is removed from the earth. But then there will be many who are backslidden. Do you know right now there are preachers, Gary, who are sinning? They're committing all kinds of sins. There's preachers in bars. There's preachers doing drugs. There's preachers that are completely outside of fellowship with God. Did you know that?
Yes.
Sure there are. I mean, that doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
Yep. Right.
Right. So, I mean, they're what the world would call hypocrites. You know, right. You preach the gospel, but you don't live the gospel. Well, why is that? Why are there hypocrites? Because it's more than a notion to walk by faith. It's more than a notion to overcome the temptations of the flesh and to resist that darkness and to overcome the enemy. Well, these tribulation saints are going to be those that get born again, or they rededicate their lives during the tribulation period. And there will be no, in my opinion, there will be no question that we have entered into the tribulation period. Now, some have tried to say, well, we're in the tribulation period now. It's already begun. Some have said we're in chapter 6 or we're in chapter 12. No, no, and no. Chapter 4, verse 1, the angel said to John, he said, "Come up hither, and I will show you things that must take place." And that is now the first time we see the church having left the earth and gone to heaven. The church is part of the bride of Christ. It's not the whole bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is the body of Christ, the church, as well as the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And so when we talk about the church being removed, we're talking about those who go in, what my pastor says, that go in the first group, the first rapture. And this rapture is the removal of the church. And when the church goes up, tribulation comes down, judgment comes down, and judgment begins on the earth. And then the Antichrist is revealed, and it begins a seven-year tribulation. Well, and all of my studies of the book of Revelation, and some may disagree with me, and that's fine. You're welcome to disagree. All of my studies show that after the rapture of the church, and this group will never die, that the tribulation saints, they will all die for their faith. Now, they will be saved eternally. There's also interesting that there's a difference between the church and the tribulation saints. The church have robes of righteousness, and the tribulation saints have garments of righteousness. And so there's a difference between the two, and we see that they all die for their faith, and notice their testimony in Revelation chapter 12. He says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. They died for their faith. And, you know, Jesus is a great example of a martyr. Jesus died also for his faith in God the Father. Another example is Stephen. And all the apostles all died for their faith except for John, who wrote the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. You remember at the end of the Gospel of St. John, and Peter, you know, is asking Jesus about, you know, John, well, what about him? And Jesus says, well, if I would that he lives until I come, what is that of your business? And basically he was saying, Peter, mind your own business, take care of Peter, which is a good message for all of us. But let's look at another verse along these lines that I was quoting just a moment ago. Where he said to not love your life. Let's look in the gospel of, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Tell everybody how they can get on board tonight, Gary.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with Pastor John Ward. You can send us an email right now, and our email address is instudio101@gmail.com.
Amen. And I'm still looking for it. Praise the Lord. Let's see if this, John 6:27. Let's go there. John 6, St. John chapter 6 and verse 27. And he said, labor not for the meat. Well, no, it's not what I want. Thank you, Jesus. Nope, that's not what I want. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let me look this up real quick. Be patient with me, everybody.
Folks, geez. Feel free to share our link, of course, realityradio101.com. We would appreciate that if you can do that as well. And again, our email address is instudio101@gmail.com.
John, thank you, Gary. John 12, verse 25. I know somebody's shouting through the radio, and I finally heard you. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 25, John 12, 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it. Now, let's look at the New Living Translation, and it says, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. My note here says the word love is the Greek word phileo. And phileo is the love, like friendship type love. It's not the God kind of love. The God kind of love is a covenant. But he says here, the Greek word here in verse 25 is phileo. He that phileo his life, in other words, that makes it his object of desire and what brings him the most pleasure. Will lose it. Jesus compares himself to a grain of wheat, his death to a grain sown and decomposed in the ground, his resurrection to the blade that brings up out of the dead grain, and his manifestation and glorification to the abundant fruit of the many grains, that includes you and I, that produced to sustain life. I must die, Jesus said, to be glorified and to be fruitful. I cannot establish a glorious church unless I am glorified. Now, Jesus also said this. He said that we are to bring glory unto the Father. Jesus said that the servant is not above his master. Now, he was talking about persecution, but in other places, he also talked about Jesus's life as an example of what you and I are to do. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, let's read that, Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Walking by faith will cause you to die out to yourself. You know, one thing I have found, Gary, is that when I let go of all my desires and I let go of all the things that I think that I want, and I just seek God and I give it to the Lord and I say, God, if you want me to have it, then I want it. But if you don't want me to have it, then I don't want it. That's the place where I find true victory. That's the place where I find true peace, is the place where I'm not seeking after all this other kind of stuff, but I'm seeking after God. And when I seek after God, I find that even though I'm no longer seeking those things, the things still come to me and I'm not lacking for anything. That's an amazing thing. I'm not lacking for anything in my life. If there's anything I want, I'm not lacking for it. But what I seek after the most is not those things. I seek after the Lord. Why? Because all those things are temporary. All those things are subject to moth and rust. All those things are gonna go. They're not going with me. There's no eternal reward in those things. You know, I find that a lot of times believers are using a lot of their faith to get bigger houses and bigger cars and all this kind of stuff. You know what? Those aren't the things that we're supposed to seek. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I also hear other believers mocking what they call the prosperity gospel. The whole gospel is a prosperity gospel. The problem is that so many people are deceived and not understanding that God's desire is for you to be rich. But if you don't have Jesus, you are poor. If you got $80 billion in the bank, if you have $500 billion in the bank and you don't have Jesus, you have no clue how poor you are. Jesus said it's easier for a rich man to, it said it's easier for a prostitute to enter into the kingdom of God than it is for a rich man. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is walking by faith. The kingdom of God is learning God's ways and doing God's ways. The only way that you're ever going to be truly satisfied in life, it's not with all the money. It's not with the big houses. It's not even all your bills being paid off. All those things are wonderful. But if you don't have Jesus, you're still empty. If you don't have Jesus, you're still poor, blind, and miserable, and may not even realize how miserable you are. Because listen, at the end of the day, you're not taking any of those things with you. I'm reminded of a story that Keith Moore tells. When he was at Rhema, he was a teacher there. And during one of the classes, they had testimony service. And this one guy was talking about all the things that he got this car and he got all his bills paid off and he got new clothes and he got jewelry. And he's just going on and on and on. He's really not testifying. He's boasting. And he's just boasting and bragging. And this one other student finally got fed up with him and said, he stood up and he said, well, so what? He said, at the end of the day, all your stuff will get burned up anyway, and your pile of ashes will be bigger than my pile. And so, you know what? You can have all these things. You can have all of the gold and all the retirement funds and all the money and millions of dollars. Yet when you stand before God, you're not going to have your money. You're not going to be able to write a check. You're not even going to have clothes on your back. You're not going to have any of those things. It's going to be you and God right there, not your grandma, not your mama, nobody else, you and God. And you're going to give an account for your life. And there's going to be one question. What did you do with the knowledge of Jesus Christ? What did you do with it? What did you do with the talent that I gave you? What did you do with the knowledge that I gave you? What did you do with it? Did you hide it under a napkin? Were you ashamed of your faith? Were you ashamed of my son? Because the only way that you can become a son of God, and Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren, Jesus is the first son. And so if you are a son of God because you believe in Jesus, Jesus is your older brother. And if you're ashamed of Jesus, how is the Father going to look upon you when you stand before him? This is not a time to be ashamed, saints. This is a time to be bold in your faith. This is a time to have all outspokenness. And you say, well, Pastor, I feel ashamed. I feel embarrassed when I talk about God. I have all these feelings that come to me. Well, the problem is that you're too concerned about your feelings than you are with pleasing God. Your number one focus should be pleasing God. And you say, well, I just don't know how to do it. You need to get before him. You need to spend some time in prayer. You need to get before the Lord and ask him to reveal these things to you. It's about relationship with God. It's not about religion. There's no formula for serving God. There's the word of God. And then we have the precious, wonderful third person of the Trinity, whose name is the Holy Spirit. And I want to pull my Bible out and look at a couple verses here with you. Go with me to John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14. And let's talk about this person, because if that's you and you're feeling ashamed, or you're feeling bashful, or you're feeling intrepidation, or any of these things, you need the help of the Holy Spirit in order to remove these things from your life. He's not going to do it by himself. He needs you. You need him. It's a relationship. Let's look at John 14 and verse 15, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. In other words, comforter just like me. Another one after the same kind. Remember, it's the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was our paraclete, our comforter. And now he said, I'm going to send you another paraclete, another comforter, so that he may abide with you forever. When we talk about how he will never leave us, Gary, and he will never forsake us, guess who we're talking about? When we say that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you, who are we talking about?
Jesus.
No, God. Actually, we're talking about the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
But because let me read it again. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, neither knoweth him. Gnosko is the Jewish idiom for intercourse, for sexual intercourse. He said, the world doesn't experience the Holy Spirit, but you, Gnosko, you have experienced him intimately, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's talking about when Jesus is glorified, when he was raised from the dead, then they shall receive the Holy Spirit on the inside. Verse 18, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without a helper, but I will come to you. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, you shall also live. You shall have eternal life in you, because you shall have the Holy Spirit in you, who will cause your spirit to become reborn, and you shall receive eternal life. Verse 20, at that day you shall know, gnosko, you shall be intimately acquainted with the fact that I am in the Father and you in me. How will you know this? Through the Holy Spirit. Saints, this is something you need to understand. Faith is not about believing or mind over matter. A lot of people don't understand what believing is. Believing is not having to have this mental concept and this emotional intensity. Believing is reality. Believing is knowing. Believing is persuasion. Believing is confidence. Believing is this trust. And it doesn't happen blindly. It happens because the Holy Spirit on the inside takes the word of God, takes the word of Jesus, and makes it reality on the inside. So faith becomes something that is more real than anything that has substance in the natural. The natural substance is temporary. It's subject to moth and rust, and it's corruptible. But the eternal spiritual substance is eternal, and it's more real than anything in the natural. Praise God. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Now, how do we keep these commandments? We are doers of God's word, not in order to be saved. We don't do God's word in order to receive salvation. Now, you do receive a reward for doing the word of God, but that's different. Salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ, period, end of story. Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 2, says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we are created or recreated in Christ. And that is talking about your spirit becoming born again so that you can bring forth good works unto God. It's Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are to walk in newness of life. We are to walk in good works, but good works don't save you. The recreation that took place in our spirit when our spirit man was born again through the operation of the Holy Spirit only took place because you believed in your heart and you said with your mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. You believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you said with your mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. You got born again. Good works did not save you. Faith is what saved you. Ephesians 2:8 says that we are saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through the channel, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So salvation is a gift. It's a free gift. You can't earn it, discern it. You can't work for it. It's a gift. How do you get this gift? You believe in your heart. You say with your mouth. It's that simple. But then we begin to do good works, and these good works, we receive a reward for them in this world and in the world that is to come. So we don't disregard our works, but it's very, very, very important to understand that your works cannot save you. Your works can't make you more pleasing to God in the sense that you're somehow better through the works that you do. No, you will receive more rewards than those that have been given the same opportunity that did not do the works that they were given because of the knowledge that they had. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So if they heard and they did not do, and you did, you'll receive a greater reward. Yet, it's nothing that you can earn or deserve in terms of salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. Going back to John for just another second, and we'll start getting to your questions. You can email me still, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. I'm in John chapter 14, and let's look at verse, let's drop down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he said that the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. That's why when we go to church, we're not necessarily listening for the voice of a man. We're listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit through that man, but also on the inside of us, because it's the Holy Spirit who is teaching us all things. in 1 John 2:20, he says, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. And in verse 27, he says, but the anointing which you have received of him is truth and is no lie. And as he has taught you, you shall remain in him. And so it's the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, who is teaching us the word of God. This word teach is the Greek word didasko. Didasko means to hold discourse, to deliver didactic discourses, to be a teacher, to discharge the office of a teacher. So he is the teacher. Who is he, Gary? Who am I talking about?
He is the teacher.
But who is he?
Christ?
Nope, the Holy Spirit.
Oh, the Holy Spirit. Okay.
That's right. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who is teaching us. That's why a lot of times Christians don't realize how important the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. Do you know what Jesus said about it, Gary?
No.
As a matter of fact, isn't it right here in John 14? He said, it's more important that I go away, because if I go not away, the Spirit will not come. But when the Holy Spirit comes, I think it's in chapter 16. Jump over to chapter 16 and verse 7. John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, well, let me back up to verse 5. Jesus is getting ready to go. These are his last few days on earth. The last 24 hours. This is the night before Jesus is crucified. And he's in the upper room. I've been there. Right in Jerusalem, the upper room, he's there with the disciples. They've had dinner. He's washed their feet. And now he's giving them some last instructions. And they're feeling sad because there's a heaviness on Jesus. Jesus said, I'm not going to eat or drink of the vine, drink any more wine until I drink of it in my kingdom. With you in my kingdom. So they're getting all sad, and there's this heaviness, and Jesus has not yet gone to the Garden of Gethsemane, but he's getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and then he's going to sweat blood, and he's resisting the temptation because his humanity doesn't want to die. And so he's ministering to them, and he says here in verse 5, he says, But now I go my way to him that sent me. Who's that, Gary? Who are we talking about? But Jesus said, now I go my way to him that sent me. Who's that?
That sent me would be God.
That's right. The Father. Remember the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Heaviness has filled your heart. There are times where we deal with that. And when you feel heavy, what are you looking for? What do you want when you feel heavy? You want comfort. And Jesus is their comforter. That's what he's doing. And he says, it's more important I go away because the Holy Spirit, the other comforter, he's going to come in my stead. Here in verse 6, the word sorrow, sorrow has filled your heart. Sorrow is the Greek word lupe, and lupe means a heaviness, a grieving, an affliction, a sorrow, a pain, he said, has filled your heart. And the Greek word here for heart is cardia, meaning the center. It's where we get the word cardiac. But here he's talking about your spirit, the center of who you are. This heaviness has filled your spirit. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient. It's more profitable for you that I go away. They're thinking, no, it isn't. Stay here. You're the one that walks on water. You're the one that raises the dead. You're the one that cleanses the lepers. Stay here. Jesus said, no, it's more important that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, not the church. He's not convicting the church. The church has been justified by the blood of Jesus. He's convicting the world of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world, Satan, is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them yet. So he's talking to them before they got born again and saying, I got a lot of things to say to you, but you can't handle them right now. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Number one, he will guide. He will reveal the way unto you of all truth. Now, what is truth? John 17, 17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all of God's word. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. What does the Holy Spirit hear? He hears what the Father is saying. He hears what Jesus is saying. He even hears what angels are saying. He hears everything because he's God Almighty. And he said he will take that information and he will reveal it unto you. He shall speak it. This word in verse 13, he says, and he shall speak. He shall speak, and it's the Greek word speak is the Greek word laleo, and laleo means he will utter words, he will talk, he will compare, to utter a voice or to emit a sound. Now, 99 times out of 100, when the Holy Spirit speaks, he is speaking to your spirit. And when he's speaking to your spirit, the voice that you hear is the voice of your own spirit. That's why it's not some deep masculine voice or whatever. It is your voice because the Holy Spirit is bearing witness. Romans 8 verse 14 and through verse 16, the Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. The word witness there means co-witness. He's bearing co-witness with your spirit. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking, you're hearing his voice, but you're hearing it through your voice. Praise God. And then he says, and he will show you or announce unto you things to come. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He will guide, he will speak, and he will show you things to come. Let's say it together. The Holy Spirit will guide.
The Holy Spirit will guide.
Speak.
Speak.
And show me things to come.
And show me things to come.
So this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is why it is so important to honor the work and understand the gift that God has given us and how important his duties are in our life. He is the one who will bring us to a place of victory. He's the one that brings us to a place of overcoming. But he's not talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Father. He's talking about the Word of God. There's no self glorifying of the Holy Spirit. And yet he is just as much God as the Father, and he's just as much God as Jesus. Now let's get to your emails tonight. You can still email me. We got about 7 minutes left. InStudio101@gmail.com. That's InStudio101@gmail.com. And I've got lots of emails here tonight. Let's start with our first email. And let's see, it is from our friend Carol. And Carol says, hi, Pastor John. This should be stressed to all people worldwide. It's in big red, a big red posting with white letters. And it says, the problem is not guns. It's hearts without God. It's homes without discipline, schools without prayer, and courts without justice. Isn't that the truth? And we're seeing more and more of that in this hour. I've never seen such lawlessness in the earth. Gary, you've been alive maybe a year longer than me. Have you ever seen this level of lawlessness?
No.
It's just crazy. You know, did you see the guy in New York that I think it was subway or street sign, and he put on a pair of these like lead gloves and he whacked the guy on the side of the head and knocked him unconscious, fractured his skull?
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? Oh, it's been viral everywhere. But this guy just walked up to him. It's so disturbing to watch this video, and knocks the guy literally unconscious, skull fracture, bleeding on the brain. And the judge let the guy right back out.
That's disgusting.
And this guy is a habitual offender. He was already, he's got lifetime parole. So he violated his parole, and yet the judge let him right back out on the street. And then the governor, what's her name? The governor in New York who took over for Cuomo. She steps up and she makes this huge political thing about how she got him rearrested.
Kathy Hochul or Hochul?
Yeah, Hochul. Kathy Hochul, yeah. And it's just the lawlessness that we're seeing is just disgusting. And it's not just in the United States, it's everywhere in the world. Even the violations that have gone on and are going on in Canada. It's the spirit of Antichrist rising up, and it's the Antichrist preparing the world for the coming New World Order, which the United Nations is already ready for. I mean, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. Praise the Lord. Carol, thank you for your email. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Roy. Roy says, hi, Pastor. This message is so true. May God bless you. No souls is too far gone. No God to bring back. No heart is too hard for God to soften. No son or daughter is too lost for God to rescue. Keep praying for God to do what only he can. Francis Chan. Amen. And that's what prayer does. Prayer releases God's power. And so it is so important. James 5 tells us the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Call you blessed, Roy, in Jesus' name. Another email here from James. James says, hello, Pastor John. When people bring up my past, I always tell them, Jesus dropped the charges. Woo, that's good. Jesus dropped the charges. I love it. Call you blessed, James, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Lenny. Lenny says, good evening to Pastor John. We always look forward to your radio show. We live in Mobile, Alabama. Thank you for the word. Praise God. A shout out to Lenny and the family and friends in Mobile, Alabama. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Karen. Karen says, hi, Pastor. Love this. There will come a time when your tears will fall, not because of problems, but because God has answered your prayers. I had a couple of those times today, Karen. We had such a glorious time in church at Word of Faith in Southfield. Our pastor, Bishop Keith Butler, and our executive pastor, Pastor Michelle Butler, they brought in a guest today, Pastor Paul Brady, originally from Ireland. He now pastors in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm telling you, man, the glory of God was so tangible. The presence of the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit was so rich. And I had multiple times, I was in the shower this morning, just worshiping God and releasing my faith and speaking the word. And I just felt such a brokenness and just weeping there. And just all day long, man, I've had times of just weeping, and they weren't tears of sadness or tears of fear. I've had all those, but they were tears of joy because God is with me. And that, I'm telling you, man, if there was ever a time to know that God is with you, it's right now. The time is short, and the time is short for all of us. Even if Jesus weren't coming, and he is, the time is short for all of us, because life is fragile and life is short. Gary and I both worked in 911 and EMS, and we've seen the fragility of life, and you just don't know when it's your time.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Karen, call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Sean. Sean says, peace to you, Pastor. And it's a picture of two beautiful doves. Thank you, Sean. Peace to you as well. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Edward. Edward says, Pastor, my first blessing of the day. I woke up. I said the same thing too earlier, Edward. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Bob. Bob says, a lot of young folks, non-believers, and sports enthusiasts follow the path of their sport idols, which can be very wrong in their lives. Here's a great quote from the great football coach, Lou Holtz. Thank you for your radio show tonight, Bob. Quote, want to be happy for an hour? Eat a steak. Want to be happy for a play? Play golf. Want to be happy for a week? Go on a cruise. Want to be happy for a lifetime? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Lou Holtz. I love it. Praise God. That is so blessed. Thank you for sharing that tonight. I'm going to save it. Bless the Lord. Save to downloads folder. Thank you for sharing that. Call you blessed tonight, Bob, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Gloria. Gloria says, loving it tonight, Pastor. We needed this. Thank you. Bless you, Gloria. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Monique says, Pastor, this is a funny joke. I got a chuckle from it. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept stupid people the way they are, courage to maintain my self-control, and the wisdom to know that if I act on it, I'll go to jail. That's funny. Praise God. Call you blessed tonight, Monique, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Andy. Andy says, hi, Pastor John Ward. I saw this on a semi-truck outside Cleveland, Ohio. I wonder how long before someone complains that this truck driver will be forced to paint over his trailer. And it says, Jesus loves you. In the back of it is Jesus with a crown of thorns. And it says, amen. Praise God. Call Andy and the truck driver blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Sherry. Sherry says, hi, Pastor John. I love this acronym. Write amen if you agree with C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ below. The C, creator, H, healer, R, redeemer, I, invigorator, S, savior, and T, teacher. Amen. I say amen to that. Call you blessed, Sherry. And last email of the night is from our friend Donna. Donna says, hi, Pastor John. Just wanted to share this with you. Thanks. When a church changes biblical truth and standards to match current culture, they're no longer following the Bible. They're following the lost. Isn't that true? You know, we are not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to make the world jealous so that they want to become like us. Donna, I call you blessed. And all my friends, I'm going to take another 30 seconds here, Gary, on Facebook, because I didn't give a shout out to all our wonderful folks on Facebook. So let's do that right now. If I can find my comments, shout out to Joan and Wendy and you, Minister Ulette, and Susan and Andrew and Todd and my mom, Judy, Susanna Meninguez and Dulari and Vince and, Janet. God bless you, Brother Compton, Sister Thelma. Bless the Lord. Denise and my friend Ron, I love you. Minister Michelle Garth, David Castle. Praise God. Did I get everybody? I think I did. Denise, did I say hi, Denise? God bless you, Denise. I think I got everybody. Praise God. Susan and Andrew, I think I already said hello to you. Christine, God bless you. And Loris, praise the Lord, all my Canadian friends. Amen. All right, everybody. It's been such a privilege to be with you. Check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. Consider supporting the ministry and send an offering to spiritoffaithradio.com. Just go to our website. Until next week, I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to The Spirit of Faith with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.